Steve, how are you?
Wonderful. What's a podcast?
He's wonderful. I'm great. You're here. I'm here. You're stuck with us this week. If you're listening to this podcast, it's these two. No guests this
week.
It's
like you hit the lottery without buying a ticket.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. It would be nice to hit that 80 what or 800 million or whatever it
Do you
is
buy
this
tickets?
Week. I haven't bought a ticket since the one that hit the billion.
Well, then you're not going to win.
Well, you know, there are other ways to spend your money. Anyways, hi. This is the Stuff Summer Says podcast with
Steve.
With Steve. Steve, like I said, it's just us. You're stuck with us this week, which there are worse people to be stuck with, I think. At least that. There are worse people compared to Steve to be stuck with, for sure. We're going to talk about Penn State men's basketball. We're going to talk about the Lady Lions basketball. Steve texted me a 20-page text about ranting about something. So we're going to talk about that. We should probably also add in some wrestling talk, too. This week's old guy, young guy is, I'm hoping that it's resolved by the time this podcast is over, is what I will say.
We could both be really old by the time it's over, you're saying?
No, it, well.
Oh, it's happening
know.
Now.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with the news of the day, which I feel like is the Lady Lions. And them missing the tournament. So let's start there and we'll go through the other basketball stuff and just talk about basketball in general. A lot of basketball today. All right. So Penn State women's basketball did not make the tournament. Not surprising in a lot of ways, particularly if you paid attention to this team. But I was thinking about it a little bit and looking at the numbers, looking at who got in, particularly Maryland getting in over Penn State primarily, I think would be the most direct way to say it. I think two things can be true. I think Penn State got hosed, and I also think Penn State didn't do enough to get in to solidify their chance of getting in the tournament. And you look at that, really that 5-game stretch of losses – or 6-game stretch of losses there. 4 of them were against tournament teams and 2 of them weren't. And I think if they win either of those two, they're certainly much better in the conversation. You look at if they go and beat USC, they're in overtime earlier. USC's, I believe, a 2 or 3 seed. That's another opportunity that they kind of missed. There was an Ohio State loss in overtime that they missed on. So that's why I say, you could make the case that Penn State did get screwed out of the tournament. I don't necessarily think they did. They were solidly a bubble team, and that's exactly where they were, and they just happened to be on the other side, of the wrong side of the bubble, if you care about that program.
Yeah, I think you're right on both pieces, right? You can make that argument, but I think that it's easier to make the argument that they didn't do enough. They didn't do enough at the right times. And at the end of the season, I'm not convinced that they're a tournament team. Like they're without Tay Valaday, they're a different team. They've done some other stuff. They've won some games, but I don't know that they're going to be tournament. They're not going to be NCAA tournament teams with the roster as it is now. It just doesn't feel like it. You know, they might play exciting games. They may win an exciting game or two, maybe, if they'd have gotten there. And yeah, Maryland getting in didn't take Penn State's spot. They took that other Big Ten spot that Penn State maybe could have had. And Penn State wasn't going to get a second win in the tournament, the conference tournament, the way it showed up, because they got Iowa. So they needed one of those regular season games, and they were sliding against one of the two teams that should have beaten in that slot, you know, in that stretch.
Well, in Maryland kind of almost solidified it or took out any question when they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten mm-hmm. tournament. There were no more questions, you know, about that. I think what is, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and I've been thinking about it more ever since you brought it up, is it really just feels like a big missed opportunity that I don't know if they're going to get next year just with the roster turnover that they have. I think they lose what, at least 2 of their top scorers between McKenna and Ashley. And I think, I don't know, it's it will now be 11 years between if they make the tournament next year, it'll be 11 years between the time they last made the tournament And that's a damn shame because this was the basketball program in the state of, maybe not in the state of Pennsylvania, but at least women's wise, like everybody was tuned in and plugged into Lady Lions basketball. And I really don't know if nowadays the average Penn State fan could name you or cares or wants to tune in or would tune in to women's basketball, even though we're in this like tremendous boom time of women's basketball primarily.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen Thursday night when the Lady Lions host a game in terms of attendance. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like people are knocking down the doors to get in, even though they're playing at home. And I can see the rationale, right? Like, honestly, I think the part of the rationale, and I don't know if Coach Kiger would say this in her media availability this week or not, but part of it is this team's pretty good, maybe almost NCAA tournament caliber good. They're probably better than a lot of teams that are in the WBIT that they're in for the postseason. So get the wins now, man. Pile up a bunch of wins in the postseason so you have something to point to if you struggle next season. Because I don't see next season being a repeat of this season in terms of success. Like, I just think if it is, it's going to be hard fought because the conference gets stronger. You lose a lot in terms of roster turnover. You get younger. They got some talent coming in. They got some talent that's already here that hasn't played. But it doesn't get easier. So that's the logic of playing the tournament. The second tournament this year makes sense. Plus, the business model changed on those. They don't have to pay to host them. It's not like the WNIT that the NCAA is actually front foot in the bill for this. So it's not costing you as much. But I think you got to get the wins now because I don't think they're coming as easily next year. And it's going to be tough.
Where we're at with women's basketball versus men's basketball, the NIT does mean like 2% of what any postseason, like a trip to, like winning the NIT, right? Like that means it at least something that you can hang your program on and say, yeah, like we didn't have a truly successful year, we didn't make the tournament, but we did win the NIT. I don't know if average fan, and like this feels very like niche. Like we are talking about Lady Lions basketball, but like I don't know if an average fan cares that they're in this tournament. I don't know if they win, if that will get your attention, because that's the like conundrum. Like there very much is a big dance and nothing else with women's basketball comparatively to men's basketball. At least the way this feels right now, kind of at the moment we're at in women's basketball.
Yeah, and I think for the women in general, I think they do a poor job with their big tournament, with the NCAA tournament. Because just in the past 6 or 8 years, we've changed how we call regions, right? We've gone from geographic regions to team regions, right? It was the host, it was the UConn region, it was the whatever. And I'm sure other teams are mad about that. You can't name them that, so let's call it something else. Now there are four regional numbers and two regions are going to Albany and two regions are going to where Sacramento or whatever else when it's finally done. It's all PR. We've already proven that the Big Ten doesn't know what geography is. So I don't know why the women's tournament doesn't do East, South, Midwest, and West, just like the men, because then you can at least hook yourself on something and people know what that is. This region 1, 2, 3, 4 thing is silliness, as was the team regions before. I think women's basketball in general, while it's having a moment, does a pretty good job of not doing some logical stuff that would serve itself well, also.
I will say this is the most excited I've been for a women's tournament, probably in the last since the last time the Lady Lions, honestly. Like I will try to tune into at least a few games, probably not first round games, but like I think once the games start to get more competitive, because
Right.
we do see there are like I guarantee you that the South Carolina score is going to be like 100 to like 37, when they play. And I think that's the difference that between the men's and women's tournament right now is like the competitiveness in the early rounds. But yeah, when I was watching the selection show last night, I don't know. There's like a there feels an inauthenticity to naming the regions that way. Even like this goes back to the whole thing. Like we you couldn't call the women's tournament March Madness until literally like 2 years ago. And I think it's still got a long way to go. And I think that is the nice thing about women's basketball right now is like, I don't know, like I think was it Bill Simmons? I think it was Bill Simmons said this, and he's like, I'm more interested in women's basketball right now than I am men's slash NBA basketball because the quality of the product is better. And it they're the same game, but they're played very differently. And I actually enjoy like the more shots and the way the flow of a women's game has. And I think when you can kind of hook your to coattails onto a Caitlin Clark, an Angel Reese, really that entire South Carolina team, then like I'm paying attention more. And so yeah, it there's still like that cheapness factor to it that I don't love or feels inauthentic to me as a fan. It just feels scammy.
Yeah, it almost feels like they're trying. There's this tug in the sport and among the broadcast partners of how much to promote it or how much they feel like they're being overlooked or not. I mean, the selection show with Elle Duncan from ESPN saying, "Come on, ladies, dance. You've been selected. Let's see that celebration." God, I felt that cheapened it. I felt like we were expecting them to dance. Go ahead, dance for the attention. Go
Yeah.
ahead, dance because the camera's on you. And that felt. I mean, yeah, they're excited they got in, but them encouraged them to do so, pushing it hard, made it feel like, okay, this is what you have to do. These are the boxes we check on a selection show. We show brackets, we see people dancing. But at the top across the board, it's great basketball. And from the Penn State perspective, Penn State fan perspective, looking at where UCLA and USC are seated, saying, oh, they might be on the schedule next season. It
Well,
is not getting any easier. It's kind of how I come full circle with. Missing the tournament, top being a tough thing because it's not going to be easier to get back there.
that's and yeah, I think that was kind of a roundabout way of getting to that point. But yeah, by us. But yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. It's this isn't going to get any easier. And so what? Like, what are you going to do about it? And that's I don't feel reassured by that, at least right now. I feel I you know what you here's how much more I'm paying attention to women's basketball. I filled out a women's bracket this year. I haven't filled out a women's bracket in God knows how long.
Well, good.
So,
I do one each year. I don't usually know anything, but I fill it out just because I should feel like I should. I used to know more. I used to pay attention.
okay. Well, do you wanna divert to your basketball, your bracket rant while we're
Well,
here?
we hit some of it. Like I thought the selection show was just silly from the women's side. I just thought that in a way they were, while they're trying to lift up the game, they're kind of belittling the game by saying, hey, this, you got to dance, you got to do whatever. And then like some of the analysis was just, it just felt lazy, Andrea Carter talking about she had LSU and UCLA both going the Final Four in her bracket before things started. Okay, you could say they're Final Four worthy, but I don't know. And the analysis again for the women of LSU got a third seed and they were all taken aback and upset and it was an egregious. And then, the guy, their bracketologist. Guy was like, oh, they were a third seed last year, like when they won, like same seed as last year. So they just, I felt it was inconsistent on both then and the men's show. The men when talking about it was Michigan State, they got in and they just barely get in, but they've been playing well late in the season, only 19 wins, but they've been playing well. Now they lost those games, but they've been playing well. I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of, I don't know, for as prepared as they should be, I didn't feel they informed me, the viewer, in any better way.
So with the women's selection show, because I missed the men's show, but I watched really the whole a selection announcement of the women's show. They just kind of listed team names and were like, here's this matchup versus this matchup. And I feel like with the men's show, maybe not every matchup, but like those 6-11 matchups and kind of what's in that you get closer between the seeds, they give me like a little bit of like a grain of salt analysis. And I don't know, I didn't think the ESPN show did that. And I think going back to our women's basketball point of like, do you want to help this sport grow and help me as a consumer understand it better? You need to give me that because I'm as soon as that's over, I'm turning the channel off because I see what saw what I needed to see.
100%.
So that was frustrating to me. I think the main thing and the main thing that I over the last umpteen years of really CBS having the men's rights to the tournament, the thing that has irked me a little bit is You have half of that panel as a generalist and half of that as insider-ish that are really plugged in and like some of the key voices, right? Between like you have like Charles Barkley would be one a good example of that. And I think Clark Kellogg does a good example of being specific, and Seth Davis also does a nice job as well. But where I think what I think hurts it is I think CBS not really like I know they kind of sort of have it in terms of they have a big weekend game, right? And they have like a few early season non-conference matchup tournament games, but they're not as consistent the way ESPN is with their coverage. Like there's nothing on CBS Sports. I mean, there's stuff on CBS Sports, but there's nothing that makes me tune into CBS Sports to watch it. And I think that's where like the inauthenticity kind of comes in for me there. And I think that's kind of my biggest grumble. And you've got a lot of parachuting in and out that I don't know.
It
I
feels
think, go ahead.
like both men and women in terms of studio kind of go the same route, right? You got your specificity people, your informed people, and your generalists. And for me, on the women's show, the generalists got more airtime, and more isn't better. Better is better. Like I didn't hear enough from Carolyn Peck, who I know is really good, and Rebecca Lobo, who I know enough to trust because she's been around for years and me doing it. And there wasn't enough airtime for them in those segments on the selection show to make points. Instead, Elle Duncan was asking people to dance, and Andrea Carter was talking about. I think at one point she's like, "That's a certified bucket region. She's a bucket. She's a bucket." And yes, I get it. They're good shooters, but there's no information there. There's just,
Right.
and again, you're right. People are parachuting. Viewers are parachuting in for one time to see what's going on. Show them you know what you're doing without. I know you got to entertain, but show them you know what you're doing and help them be engaged in the sport a little more, and they might stick around.
The other thing that with the women's show that irked the thing that actually irked me the most about the women's show was the Holly Rowe interview with the woman that is in charge of the seating. It was 2 seconds. It was two, three questions, and that's it. I have, as a fan, I've got. I need to know why. Like it, Iowa and LSU having to go through each other. Like that region is very stacked, and I think that should have impressed more. And that's not a knock on Holly Rowe, because I think she is one of the best, if not the best, in her field. It felt like that was a case of the company that wasn't ESPN putting the restraints on ESPN in terms of the lines of questionings that probably could be asked.
The time it was there. Yep, I agree. But it's over and we get basketball, so that's a good thing. I mean, the men's games will be great from the outset, and the women's games will be that first round, like you said, is going to be tough generally. So, are you excited about Duquesne? Actually, Duquesne might have been the first game I watched start to finish
No.
in the regular season, except for a Penn State game when I stumbled on that Sunday afternoon.
No,
No?
I didn't.
Felt good for the guy.
No.
Although I would have been happy if he still like the pettiness in me would have been okay if VCU would have won in Penn State. Like there's a part of me
There it
that would have been
is.
happy with either
He's
winner.
still petty about that. He's
I
still
know.
petty
But good
about
for
that.
Duquesne. It's been what 1977, so good for him. And the guy's gonna retire when
Yeah,
they
I saw
lose. So.
that. I saw that. Yeah,
Damn.
that's well, we didn't talk about did you see the Long Beach State thing? Did you
Yes.
see
Oh
that?
yeah.
Which that's awkward.
And
I could
they've
not.
got 20 wins, right? They have like 20 and 12 or
Yeah,
something.
that's really weird. Like I think somebody's got to reconsider that decision.
Wow.
In general, what will be your viewing habits? Well, of course, working on work. What will be your viewing habits of the
Yeah,
tournament?
work makes it tough, right? Although it's much easier now, right? Because you can stream like than it was 10 years ago, right? Like 10 years ago, it used to be a radio in the office, you know, listening to Westwood One or Compass Sports Networks, which made a brief run at Westwood. Yeah, I'll probably have a little browser corner up with the games
Okay.
when I'm in the office, just to have the sound more than anything else in the background and, you know what's going on. What about you?
We need to get Steve an iPad. I'll bring the iPad out and watch on the
We'll see.
iPad
And then,
with you.
Thursday evening, right? I'll watch games and I don't know if there's anything else on Thursday night. And I'm not going to go to the Jordan Center probably, just because better games are on TV, I think.
I think that's a good idea. Okay. Let's stay with basketball, and then we'll get to wrestling. You alluded to it there. Penn State men's basketball wrapped up its season with a loss, a tight loss to Indiana. Tough to beat a team three times in a row. I don't care what sport it is. It's pretty tough to do. We talked about this a little bit last week. I wrote about it on the blog. What is Mr. Samsel's assessment of the first year of the Mike Rhodes era?
It's what I expected. I mean, I expect them to be 500-ish, play good ball. Didn't expect them to make the tournament. He seems like the right guy. They're doing the right things. So yeah, I think it was maybe not a roaring success, but it was a pretty darn. I mean, because I think if you're a hardcore fan, you can look at some tight losses and say, "Geez Louise, how could we have done that?" Right, and feel really good about it. And I think with the players he had to cobble together to get it, he's gonna, apparently get fish safe Pittsburgh. Yeah, I know. You gotta be optimistic. So I think it was a good season. What about you?
Yeah, I think all things considered, a solid B plus. Like, there's nothing wrong with a B plus. Like, I think there's gonna you look back at the schedule, like you said, like there are a couple of losses that are like, that Georgia Tech loss, which kind of was by the hands of the officials. You look at kind of a couple of those little stretch run losses there, in the middle part of the season, and even in the early part of the season, and it's like, yeah, kind of maybe probably could have been 2 to 3 wins better. But yeah, I think I feel comfortable. Like, I think after the first year of Micah Shrewsbury, like, I think there was a little bit of unknown still with him. And I think, obviously, to be fair to Mike Rhodes, like, there's still an unknown with him. But what I do like is it's just like, it's hard to put your finger on, and it sometimes, but it just kind of feels like there might be a little bit of momentum kind of rebuilding again. Then it might not take as long as we thought it was going to be with a coach departing that quickly. I'm interested to see what happens in the off season. I mean, I think really the two big questions, of course, are Ace Baldwin and Puff Johnson, and if they stay, like I said, there's no reason that they shouldn't make the tournament. They're particularly if those two play the way that they played toward the end of the season, really after the Kanye Cleary dismissal, they found a groove. They found another gear that I think that can kind of provide a little bit of leadership. And I don't know. I think people are paying a little bit more attention in a good way to Penn State basketball and not in a negative way. And I think that's something to build on. Like, if you're an administrator or you're the coach, because I think we realize collectively in the Shrewsbury era that if you win, people do care about Penn State basketball. You just got to get there first, and like that's the tough part. But it's enough to be a building block. And I don't know. I think I really think. I think there's a very good chance if those two stay, like we're sitting here talking about it next year, talking about a tournament team, in my mind.
I think the Clary move, the no longer with the team move for Clary, was as important for the fan base as it was for the play on the court, right? Because, we're in NIL era, right? And the guys are making money and whatever else. But this paints Mike Rhodes is, look, we're here to play basketball and be a part of the team, and here's our rules. Not doing them. Thank you very much. Not making us better. See you later. And I think that works for a portion of the fan base that, might skew more toward me or me toward more toward older of like, hey, this is how we're going to do it, and probably appeals and probably goes to who he is. So I think that's good. Like the women, the addition of some teams probably doesn't make it easier. And I think the wonderful thing that I didn't hear this year, because they were somewhat successful and the schedule was a little friendlier for me, like the mileposts in men's basketball season are like schedule release, and then a week later, people bitching about no Saturday afternoon games or midweek games to Jordan Center or travel or stuff like that. Seems like with the way the Big Ten has gotten bigger, those challenges are going to be hard for every team to feel like the Big Ten loves them in scheduling. So I guess I wouldn't be shocked if that pops up at the beginning of next season. But I also think Rhodes has struck me at least as where and when? Okay, we'll be there. And I think that's a refreshing mentality from the top.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it's he And I think Micah Shrewsbury did this as well. And I don't think the previous coach before them did this, but or he they're kind of like, okay, like we're here. This is great. Like we know we will get more people to come to the games if we win. So let's worry about winning as opposed to selling, I think is the best way to put it. And I that's what I feel. And that's why I kind of just feel comforted by what can or could happen next. I don't think like, and this is way too early, but like, because like I said, there's a lot. I don't think next year's a failure if they don't make the tournament, but I just want to see growth next year, I think, going from year one to year two. And as long as I can see that as a fan, I'm happy. So yeah, feel good.
Very good.
Okay. Let's wrap up with some wrestling. Well, we'll get the old guy and guy too, but let's wrap up there with some wrestling. The elephant in the room, I guess, is the fact that probably I don't know what he was ranked, but I think he was like one of the best wrestlers in the country, pound for pound, will wrestle as a 9 seed. And that's of course is Carter Tarogi. Tarachi. I don't know why I said Storky. Tarachi. And I don't know. Again, I don't pay attention to wrestling that much enough, but it just kind of felt laughable that the guy he hasn't lost a belt in what, 2 years? And then he also I don't think he had that many, like I don't think he was taken down that many times, right? This season. I think Aaron Brooks maybe was like the only wrestler with fewer being taken downs. I don't know what the
Well, I
proper
think
term is
what
there.
I, you know, part of it is they came up with a format, right? Like if you're not a conference champ and you haven't wrestled X number of bouts, you know, you can't be more than a, you're going to be outside the top eight, right? And that's where he fell because he had the schedule limited a little bit and he wasn't the conference champ on the mat. So I guess 9 was as high as he could be in terms of the new format. Does it feel right? No, probably not. But at the same time, line him up and tell me when to wrestle him, right? Like I haven't
Yeah.
heard him bitch about it. I don't know that Kale has said anything. You again, you hear media, you hear fans. And I guess that's what's interesting for both the media, well, less so the media than the fans, because the media's job is just to kind of tell you what's happening and call down the middle. If you're a fan, you think your guy's the best. Okay. Line him up and let me see me wrestle him. You disrespected me? Oh, okay. Here, go out and, you know. And I don't feel bad for the sport in terms of who he's going to get in the quarterfinals or semifinals or whatever else. That's just how it felt. Like I don't know what you're going to do about it. And if he was really good, and if he's really good on his game, it may not matter who he gets when he gets him. So, doesn't matter if he sees him in the semis or finals. So,
He's gonna have to go through him at some point. Yeah,
right, exactly.
I think that's a fair way to look at it. It's just as an outsider looking at hit, knowing what I know about him, and then seeing that he's a 9 seed is just weird. It's
He's
weird.
got a TV commercial that I must have missed or just started in
Oh, really?
rotation on.
Missed that.
Car dealer, Blaze Alexander up here, you know, hi, this is Carter Strachey, you know, and that's it. And then they go into the voiceover for all the other stuff. So it's just, it's not as engaged as Julian Fleming beating up a car or rolling over the car. But clearly somebody has him, had him ready to go when postseason came.
Four other 1 seeds. You've got Braden Davis, Levi Haynes, Aaron Brooks, and then Greg Kerfleet. I think I am particularly interested as somebody who lives in Maryland and particularly interested in the Aaron Brooks kind of scenario and hoping to see him kind of achieve. And it's honestly mainly because like our neighbors, they wrestle and they like came over one day. He was like selling me something. He's like, "Oh, did you go to Penn State?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, do you know who Aaron Brooks is? He's amazing." And I was like, "Yeah, I do know who he is. And yeah, he is amazing." And it's like, you know, like I hope Aaron Brooks knows that like he's being a positive influence for kids in this area. So, you know, objectively caring a little bit more about that. I just am interested. Like I feel like I hate to say it, but I do feel like there's going to be a plot twist or something that's going to come, and we're not going to necessarily see it coming. And I think that's going to damper the whole tournament, the whole championship. But
Wow, did you, were you looking at your crystal ball over lunch or something, or?
I don't know. It's just like everything has felt too good to be true about this team, and maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe that's what we'll discover at the
It'd
end
be
of
interesting
this.
to see if Big Ten's revealed the the more driven side of freshman Braden Davis, right? Like, because it just felt like maybe there, that's when it clicked of getting two wins that probably should have been losses during the regular season that people talked about. He finally like was like, screw it, here's who I am, and doesn't matter, I'm going to beat you kind of thing. And that's kind of, we talked about his post-match interview the other week. So I think that'll be fun to watch. And if that's got to be ironic, if 25 was a weight where Penn State won a national championship and something else didn't happen like that they were expecting, like that would be the height of irony. So, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, that wrestling is, nobody's, I mean, Penn State's got a couple dominant guys, but even some of its other top-ranked guys are, they pulled out wins, they've done some stuff, it's close. And that's what makes it fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm eager. I think it'd be a good way to describe my emotion setting towards this
Nice.
weekend. Anything else about wrestling? Anything else about?
Will you be streaming, watching,
I
listening?
will be paying attention. We have a wedding on Saturday, so we'll see what
Okay.
time we get back.
Okay.
So be paying attention though. Maybe I'll record it and watch it back in the morning and just try to avoid social media for 24
Good luck
hours.
with that. Yeah, great.
Yeah, thank you. I'm certain that my podcast co-host won't text me 17 times during
I'll tell him to
any
leave
of
you
the
alone.
bouts. Okay, great. All right. We actually haven't even talked about football. Like, spring football is here. We haven't even talked about it yet because there's a lot of other stuff going on. Maybe we'll get to that next week. All right, this week's Little Guy, Young Guy. I don't know if it's been taken care of, but I would like to know Mr. Samsel's opinions on Facebook Marketplace. Does Steve Samsel sell or buy things off of Facebook Marketplace?
I have sold and I have purchased. Definitely sold, like, because we have stuff in the basement that I'm just trying to get rid of. Because we have both. We do a lot of we'll do more Facebook Marketplace. And then there's a somewhat thriving give it away group, whatever they hear, buy nothing group, right? So depending on whatever it is. But yes. And yeah. What about you? You're the group that's supposedly driving it, right? Facebook is for younger people buying stuff anymore, not social connections.
Correct. Okay. So here's where I'm frustrated. We've bought a couple in fact, this desk that this computer is sitting on is from Facebook Marketplace, and I love this desk. We've bought some furniture from there. But I just hate the like I hate the back and forth when you're selling something of like we're selling a I'm selling a pedestal sink from our basement bathroom.
Yeah.
I think I put listed it for $20, and the guy's like, "Can you do this for $0?" No, I can't. I would like to sell this for at least like 10, right? He's like, "Will you take five? I can come pick it up today." Whatever. It's not worth like the $5. It's fine. Like I will take the $5,
Went from 20 to 5 in one day?
because it's been sitting in my garage for like 3 months now. So it's like at this
Okay.
point, I just want it out, but. No, and that's the other thing. This guy has like taken 2 weeks to respond to this process. And what annoyed me is like he's like, "Can you send me your address?" And I sent him the address. I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Great, I'll be by some point today. I'm not gonna sit around and wait on you all day to come pick up this $5 sink." So the currently is sitting out in the driveway, and I just said, "Leave the money in an envelope in our mailbox, because it's $5, and if it doesn't if I don't Oh darn! You took care of trash, half of my trash for the week, so I just don't love that anymore of it.
We have we when we first did a couple, I had stuff that was, I don't know what I was getting rid of, but it was some just decent stuff that we couldn't use. Maybe it was a couple older tools, maybe speaking to our old conversations before, maybe it was like powered tools, right? Before I had batteries. But I would stick it out there, a bunch of pictures, and I would be like, porch pickup, first come, first serve, right? But then you would start getting, is this still available? Dude, I don't know. I gotta go look on the porch. Like, or I would be very interested. Well, then be the first person there to get it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like th this is not, this is first come, first serve on the porch at this address, come get it. And then you would get people like, who want to do that? Like, well, can you hold it? Can you? I'm like, no, first person to come get it gets it. Well, unless you have a sob, like if you have a sob story, oh, I can't make it. It's great. It'd be great for my gal. Okay, I'll pull it back in the garage and have it for you later in the day or something. But yeah, there's a lot of negotiation that I don't want to deal with because people are just trying to get rid of stuff. And generally, it's somewhat usable stuff for whoever else wants it. So don't make it a process, just complete the process.
Yeah, my miter saw is from Facebook marketplace. I bought it off of a guy in West Virginia named Rusty, and he was a great fellow. I had to drive
I got a
different
toolbox.
places.
I got a toolbox from there. That's right. That's where I got my Craftsman toolbox. Got some. The kids have gotten stuff, right? Especially with babies, right? Like stuff that hasn't been used or
I hear that's
weddings,
big. Yeah.
wedding favors and things like that that you're just getting off to some pawn off to somebody else. So, but yeah, I don't like a process. I like it to just
Just
be done. But that goes to my impatience. I'm surprised you're impatient.
it's not even that. It's like you're buying a sink off of Facebook Marketplace and you're haggling me for
Well, and especially a
20
pedestal sink's
bucks.
worth, gosh, when we did the house 15 years ago, they were $100 for a set, right?
Right.
So
Yeah, like a
twenty
brand new
bucks is
one.
nothing, right? Like, so stop it.
This one is not new. It's probably been in the house since the 90s because it is almond colored, but like, yeah, it's so. Anyways, okay. I just want to get Steve's take
There
on
you go.
Facebook
You
Marketplace.
kind of lean, you a lot of these old guy things, you're leaning a little old.
I know. I need to.
Okay,
We
just
need to
checking.
do it. We need to
We'll
do
have
a
to do a
trip.
music thing again
I was
to
gonna
make
say
you
we
feel
can
good.
do a trivia.
I got, one old guy, young guy for you
Oh
that
God.
we made fun of. This is like the bonus old guy, young guy. I'm
Oh God.
going to see a movie tomorrow night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda 4?
One I said I'd probably never see.
What's the
Lots of
other one?
pink.
You're gonna go see Barbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you. I'm very proud of
There you
you.
go. State Theater's doing specials because it's, Barbie and Oppenheimer this week. So we're not going to see Oppenheimer because can't make it work, but we're going to see Barbie tomorrow night. So there you go.
You're gonna enjoy it. It
See?
was all the
Well, the
music's
State
gonna be
Theater
Steve.
sells beer too. So I mean,
Oh,
there's
there you
that.
go. Does the
So
AMC not sell beer?
I
Well, there's
don't
two
know.
AMCs, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We've been there, but I probably wouldn't buy it there. So because it was probably expensive. It's probably expensive where we're going to go. But no, we have a little card because we're old and get the free popcorn.
Yeah, of course he does. No, we our movie theater here is like a it's one of those fancy ones that you can like they've got it's in our old mall, but it's like in the mall. Like it was like they tore down the stores in the mall to build this movie theater.
Is it an FSK or another mall?
The other one, the
Okay.
Golden Mile one.
Okay.
And but they've got like a it's called Warehouse Cinemas, and they've got a like all of their like theming is around like warehouses and like the like big boxes, the like the cargo boxes. So like the bar is a cargo box and you can go up to the bar. And then they also have like McClanahan's has the self pour
Yep.
beers. You can do that there as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now I'll scope it out tomorrow at the State Theater and
I'm telling you, you're
maybe
gonna
find an
enjoy it.
excuse to go to AMC in a month and have that.
You're gonna enjoy it. All right. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm very proud of Steve for going to see Barbie this week. Oh, we totally forgot to mention we are having a bracket contest if you would like to join. It's completely free. It's the link is on our social media channels slash in Steve's most recent article on the blog. Again, you can it's totally free to join and the winner gets some stuff. So yeah. Okay. Let's see. Blog, it's called stuffsummersays.com. On that website, there is a section called
Steve.
with Steve. I'll probably write something this week. I don't know what yet, but something. I've got a couple things running around in the old brain. And Steve's been on fire lately. He's been writing a lot of stuff for us lately. His bracket column was very good. Make sure you read that. And if you haven't read his Andrew Sturtz thing, I don't know if I shouted that out on last week's podcast, but make sure you read that too. Emails. Mine's Darian at Stuff Summer Says. Steve's is. Oh no, wait.
Steve.
I messed that up. There's just
StuffSummerSays.com.
.com. It's Darian at stuffsummersays.com. Steve's is.
Steve at StuffSummerSays.com.
There we go. Other than that, five stars, thumbs up, hit subscribe. Thank you to everybody that's recently subscribed. Somewhere over in that general vicinity, there's a little button. And if you're listening in audio format, make sure you subscribe there too. I don't know if it's been a while since I've used Apple Podcasts. All right, we're out of here. Lastly, Twitter handles. Mine's at Stuff Summer Says. Steve says,
At Steve Sampson.
we're out of here.